Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Just talked about Chastain Ford. They are a huge supporter of the Cougs. You also got HRP, Mike Holly, who played tackle or guard. He was an offensive lineman for Andre Ware when he won the Heisman. So you know he's pretty good. He's still a big dude, okay? Still a very big dude, and he's got an unbelievable business in HRP. And Damarises, who are very unathletic and probably never played a game, I don't believe, in their lives. But they can make barbecue, and they can make Mexican food really well, too. So you got all that going on, all bringing you Dana Holgorsen right here on ESPN 97.5. What's up, Coach?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Man, we're doing great. Great to have you back here. Congratulations on the win. Art wanted to ask the first question. Ask Dana if he told the Navy players, thank you for your service, before you beat the snot out of them. I do know this. I was watching after the game, and you guys all walked over for the song afterwards. I thought that was pretty cool that you guys stayed and you hung out with the Navy players as they sang their alma mater.
Well, yeah, it's a neat place. It's the first time I've been to Annapolis. I've had the honor of being able to coach against them for 3 different times. One was actually here in Houston in a bowl game back in 2003, and then last year they came to Houston. They're pretty good last year too. Now, I mean, that quarterback's their team's the same. It's just without their that quarterback who's currently playing for the Miami Dolphins as a slot receiver. They're not quite as good, although they're incredibly hard to prepare for both offensively and defensively. It's a first class place. You know, Coach Ken, I can't pronounce his last name. Not going to even try. But does a great job. I mean, he's been there forever. They've been doing the same thing forever. Defensively, they're tricky. They do things, you know, a lot of things that are tough. I tell you, we got to one point in the game. Their two linebackers they're really good players. They do some cheap stuff every now and then. And one of them, you know, when Toon got hit in the head on kind of a forearm deal, I was talking to a couple of the referees, which usually I don't have very pleasant conversations with those guys, but they were like, you know, we've had our eye on them because we know they kind of do some cheap stuff. I was like, yeah, they do a lot of it. I said that's something I want them to do when they're protecting our country, but it's not what I want them to do to my quarterback. You know, so they threw the flag on him and kicked that young man out. But just a first class place. It's a beautiful place, beautiful part of the country. You know, it's right up against the water on the East Coast, and there's boats everywhere. It's the perfect time of the year in October. It was a great trip. Our kids handled it well. 3 hours and 15 minute flight, you know, but everybody handled things well. It's a gorgeous day for football, and we played pretty good, too. So I'm happy to get out of there with a win, but that's a first-class program and a first-class place.
Yeah, they, you know, he hit, it was up in the air for a while. I mean, and they had some plays that dude, that quarterback. Yeah, this is a different kid. That ain't Keenan anymore. That's back there. It's Dalen Morris now, who's there, and he's like a linebacker. Dude looks like a linebacker instead of a quarterback. But it must be so hard. I mean, you give up some stuff over the top to him, but you're like, it's so hard to know when they're gonna throw. That it, you know, it's inevitable. The Navy's been making big plays in the passing game, few, but big games in the passing game forever, right?
Well, that quarterback knows it pretty good. He doesn't have. And I'd rather them play with a guy that can throw it pretty good than a guy that can run it pretty good, right? So he can't get out on you. And our defense did a heck of a job of defending the run. I mean, we were awesome at the point of attack. night and day difference from where it was last year. Their fullback, which was the same fullback as last year, who had 200 yards on us on the fullback dive. You know, they didn't get anything. I mean, our two defensive tackles played lights out, allowed our linebackers to be able to make every play. But they had really big receivers that you know, they hit us on some pop passes and some, you know, some things over the middle. We're still playing with some inexperienced guys. And when you got those guys trying to defend the run, you know, and defend the pass, it makes it hard for guys that don't have as much experience. So, overall, I think we played pretty good. That was the Navy team that had won 9 straight conference games. They're 3-0 this year. They know how to win. They believe in what they do. They play hard. They play disciplined. They win ball games too. So even though it was tight, I was glad our guys hung in there and kind of pulled away from them there in the third quarter.
Oh, that's Malcolm Perry that was on the Dolphins this year, not Keenan. He was the year before. Marquez Stevenson, coach, got him the ball, and look what happens. Holy cow. You want to talk about him? Lance, is Lance here, or did he take a break?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Marquez Stevenson, he's on your list. He's on your watch list, isn't he?
Well, yeah, because he's got tremendous speed, and he's got, you know, tremendous athleticism. I think one of the things that, you know, one of the things that's really special about him, just in peeking at him so far this year, is he's very instinctive with the ball in his hands, too. And when you look at a guy like Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State last year, who had come from JUCO, and all of a sudden he turned into this huge yards-after-catch guy, that's turned into a really big thing, Dana. I mean, and this isn't new. It's not like this is something brand new. College obviously always leads the pros. College is first into it, and the pros are always last into something. But the ability with the ball in your hands, you know, his return ability really shows you what he's capable of, not just with his athletic ability, the wiggle on his hips, but his instincts with the ball in his hands. And that's one of the things that I've really learned, kind of the phase four of wide receiver play, the ability, once you have it in your hands, to make something happen. That's the same thing with the running back. You want, you know, yards after contact, or can you create on your own? And that's what that's definitely what you have with this guy.
Yeah, he's pretty special with the ball in his hands. I took a lot of criticism, rightfully so, with him not getting the ball nearly as much against BYU. I take responsibility for that. They did a really good job. They doubled him the whole time. The one thing that Marquez has got to understand, if people are doing that, that's just going to open up everybody else, which helps our football team. So, but even with that said, I've got to do a better job. He's got the ability to be able to move around and do a lot of different things. There's a lot of receivers that can't do that. I mean, I've had Blitnikoff finalists like Kevin White and James Blackman that weren't real good at moving around a lot, doing a lot of different things and playing a lot of different positions. Marquez is a very instinctual but smart football player, to where I can move him around. He can move from right side to left side. He can play slot. He can be a wide receiver. He can be a singled up guy. I can move him around and free him up. And that's just what I got to do. I got to do a better job of creating some space where he gets the ball in his hands. And we did that. He was just a tick away from having 3 touchdowns and over 200 yards last year. Just missed him on a post route that would have put him in the national conversation on National Player of the Year with 10 catches and or Player of the Week. But that did get him the ball 9 times and scored twice. One was on a screen where we had blockers in front of him, didn't need much, but got the play started, and then he scored after that. I tell you, Kyle Porter, who is our running back, who's the Katy kid, played lights out. I mean, he played 65 snaps. He was another guy with yards after catch and yards after contact. We didn't block particularly well up front. He made the majority of his yards after contact, after catch. And, with that said, I was like, Kyle really deserves our player of the game. But Marquez broke it open in the second quarter. We were struggling getting things going, and he ran a heck of a go-around, made a catch, made a couple guys miss, went to sports. The difference in the game is Marquez.
Kyle Porter looks like – oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Lance.
Well, I was going to ask, Coach, do you set goals like you know how some teams have individual, or they have team goals offensively and defensively before every game. Do you guys do that, or is that kind of just something that's, that you think doesn't really accomplish anything?
Not really like individual game team goals and stuff like that. Not really. We have like specific, and we talked about this last year, but like there's marks that we want to hit as a team when it comes to offensive and defensive ratios, when it comes to field position, which is obviously offense defense, but you know, field position, turnover margin, yards per play is the biggest one. Third down efficiency, fourth down efficiency. Red zone touchdowns. I mean, there's ratios that we go into every game that we want to that we want to try to meet, but not like individual stuff as far as, you know, individual touches or offensive goals or any of that. I mean, from a team perspective, head coach, I want to score one more point than the opponent. But those five things that we talked about are things that we kind of obsess over and look at. And really, if you look at this game was pretty close. On all those things, though, it was almost dead even for the exception of 1.5 yards per play. That's enough to win by about 21 points.
Yeah, you held them to 166 yards on the ground, Navy. So that you must have hit that goal. And they had 206 passing, but a lot of that came, you know, when the game didn't matter. So you hold Navy to 166 yards rushing, and you're doing a hell of a job.
That's tough to do.
I just wanted to talk a little bit more about Kyle Porter before we take a break here, Coach. That guy's you can tell five, Marquez Stevenson, you can tell Kyle Porter, and you can tell that Peyton Turner, those guys are Sunday guys. Kyle Porter just looks like an NFL running back.
Yeah, he's played an awful lot of ball. Probably the most, and I can say this about, you know, I touched on Speedy being a pretty intelligent player to where he can move around and understand things. Kyle Porter is maybe the smartest running back I've coached, or, you know, maybe one of the smartest offensive players I've coached. I mean, that guy got his business, not on the field, it's off the field as well. Got his business degree from Texas in 3 years. He's in the business program here in Houston, master's program. He's going to get his MBA here in 2 years here. 2 degrees in 5 years, or really 4.5 years. And playing a lot of football as well. Got him a state championship at Katie. That dude's got a bright future no matter what he does. He'll play football as long as he can, but once that's over, he's going to run businesses and corporations here in the city. And you know, Peyton Turner's the same way. He can't graduate in 3.5 years. He's incredibly intelligent and ready to go. I'll throw one more in there at you just because he's an older guy that's been extremely reliable. Steve Corbin is starting to come on as a receiver. You know, he's 6'2", he's 200 pounds, and he's starting to figure things out. He had five third down catches last week. That was spectacular. Maybe one of the best route runners I've been around. So, you know, he's another older guy that's played a lot of ball around here and is starting to come into his own.
Yeah. Good stuff. 8:14 ESPN 97.5. Dana Holgorsen every week is brought to you by Chastang Ford, by HRMP, and Damaris Barbecue. So you're looking for a place to go watch the Cougs. Well, how about go to TDECU? But if you can't make it out to TDECU, 1 o'clock on Saturday, get out over to Damaris and enjoy all the wings and the barbecue and the Mexican food and everything else that they've got to offer over there. And if you're looking, of course, for that payroll company, an HR company, those are our guys, HRMP. And you know, Dana's got – you still got the Explorer Sport with Chastang?
Oh, yeah, I'm in it right now, headed to work for Thursday morning practice. This thing zips around the city pretty good now. I had one of those Explorers like you did too, which is always – I've always kind of had the bigger ones. And Patrick went out there to see, you know, Patrick and Joe, and Patrick said, you know, you might want to try this Explorer Sport. It zips around the city a lot better, and I know you like to get there quick, and this thing gets me places pretty quick, and it does it. The thing looks good with all the features as well, so could be more happier with one Chastang Ford. Those are great people, great, peaceful Cougars, and their product is pretty good as well.
Yeah, pretty damn good. 8:16 ESPN 97.5, Dana Holgorsen. We'll have another segment with him on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Dana Holgorsen with us, brought to you by HRP, Damaris Barbecue, and Chastang Ford. Coach, let's talk about the conference for a minute. Holy crap. Cincinnati and SMU, I don't know if you got a chance to watch it on Friday night before your game, but that was a little surprising, as well as SMU had been playing, for Cincinnati to hold them to 13 and put 42 on them. Wow, that's pretty telling about what Cincinnati's got going on right now, isn't it?
Yeah, they look pretty good to me. I'm trying not to think about that. you know, Central Florida's a pretty dangerous football team that's coming to town here today or tomorrow for Saturday's game at 1. You know, but just, yeah, I watched it, glanced it. We were on the airplane coming back from Navy, so I had a computer on the lap watching, you know, our game, trying to get that thing broke down on the 3-hour flight back. And you know, we fly United Airlines, which is awesome, and Houston-based, and TVs everywhere, so our whole team is kind of watching that game as well. It's kind of the main one on Saturday night. But, yeah, Cincinnati looks pretty good. You know, SMU was close to being 6-0 for the second time in 2 years. So they're winning ball games. Cincinnati's winning ball games. You know, but we're pretty focused in on Central Florida, who is coming in an unusual situation for the first time in, like, 5 years. I mean, they're 2-2 in the league, 3-2 overall. They either beat you by 50 or they lose close. So I'm pretty excited about those guys coming in. I think it's going to be a pretty fun, entertaining game on Saturday.
Yeah. That was Saturday. That's right. It was one of the prime Saturday games instead of Friday night. Central Florida, they beat Georgia Tech. Of course, Georgia Tech isn't what we thought Georgia Tech was. They beat up on ECU. Tulsa, what? Now, there's a surprise of the whole conference. Tulsa beat Central Florida, and Zach Smith is playing some great football right now. But that Memphis game was a 50-49 game with Central Florida. Otherwise, this team's 4-1 right now if they're able to, you know, come up with a couple more points against Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, they'd already scored 50 or whatever it was. I mean, they like track meets. I mean, it's eerily similar to what Baylor was like, you know, a few years ago. You know, when they had their little run, you know, well, I guess it was what, four or 5 years ago or whatever it is. They're eerily similar to that. They run the same offense. You know, they've hired a couple of guys that knew that thing, you know, whether when Heupel was at Missouri and then his couple years at UCF, he's had that influence. But they do things the same way defensively and special teams wise, and just have that mental makeup of being okay with just chaos. So high scoring games of them is nothing that's new. I tell you, Tulsa beat them last year. You know, up at Tulsa, it was a close game, I think. Philip Montgomery at Tulsa, who I view as very similar to us, just as far as a lot of games being canceled, They played Oklahoma State, top 10 team close, just like we played BYU, a top 10 team close. And then it's been 2-0 in the league, you know. So, you know, I think the jury's still out on both us and Tulsa. But the more we win, you know, conference games like that, the more that, you know, we're going to be tough to deal with. But Central Florida's in a situation where they're not used to. They're 2-2 in the conference, which they haven't been. They haven't had a 500 record in the conference in about 5 years. So, you know, I'm going to be anxious to see what kind of a team we got coming in. They're dangerous in a lot of ways. They say they're the most talented team in the league. They've been the team that's won the league, I think, 3 out of the last 4 years. So it's a good opportunity for us to see exactly who we are here at home.
It can't be more opposite from week to week, huh? Going from Navy to Central Florida?
It cannot. I mean, it is the polar opposite of everything that has anything to do with football. you go from Navy, where they are what they are, to Central Florida. It is the complete polar opposite when it comes to the body types, when it comes to schemes, when it comes to tempo, when it comes to absolutely everything. It is 100% different. So we had a good week of practice prepping for Navy. I was happy with where our mindset was. We fixed a lot of things and was really tuned in and understood what a game week is. Same thing this week. Our preparation has been outstanding. We're getting some guys back and some guys healthy, and then boom, you lose one or two as well. But that's just football, and especially now in 2020, you got to be used to that and ready to deal with that. But our team's prepared for the chaos that Central Florida brings, and it should be a lot of fun.
Dana Holgorsen with us here on ESPN 97.5. Surprisingly, well, and I don't know. I would have thought, you know, and he spreads it out and he throws it around, but they're pretty balanced too. I mean, they ain't afraid to run the ball. They've run the ball 3 more times than they passed it this year. I would have thought it wouldn't be that much. Of course, I think sometimes that's a misnomer, isn't it? A lot of people think that you're spread it around, throw it, fling it all over the place, but you love to run the football too.
Yeah. I mean, we know what I'm trying to do. I think we're still kind of trying to really kind of to develop what kind of our identity is. We didn't run the ball very good last week. I mean, I'd love to sit there and hand it off and establish a run. It makes the pass game easier. But, you know, once we just kind of settled in, the best thing that we did last week at Navy is just get on the ball and let Toon check pass plays. And I thought he was incredibly accurate, and he's coming into his own as far as understanding where we want to go with the ball and who we want to get the ball to. Central Florida, and again, I go back to it's that whole Baylor thing, just as far as they're going to try to run the ball, and then they're going to try to go, they try and throw the ball deep, try to get up on you, and then try to run the ball late to get out of the game with the win. So we kind of know what their MO is, and you know, we're going to try to stop the run and try not to give up the big play. I mean, that's the secret for trying to defend Central Florida.
Yeah. A little scary with Toon. Logan got to get some snaps. I thought that was cool. He got to throw some passes last year too, but pretty neat for him to get into the football game. That's got to be a little bit worrisome as a dad, though, and especially worrisome when your quarterback takes a big hit like that.
Well, we keep talking to him about protecting himself. I mean, you know, he had to come out of the game twice last week, and some of that stuff's going to be unavoided. I mean, if an opposing player takes a cheap shot on him and gets called for targeting, I mean, that's going to be unavoidable at times. But there's going to be specific things that you can avoid. And the thing I'm learning about Clayton Toon is he's just such a competitive kid that's not in his nature. I mean, he's okay with running the football. He's okay with getting hit. He's okay with fighting for extra yards. Like that first one, he scrambled out. They dropped 8, and there was a lot of coverage, and he had some time, and he didn't feel comfortable throwing it, so he kind of scrambled out. Had a lot of room, you know, got about 15 yards, got the first down, tried to get like an extra 1 or 2, and got tripped up. And wasn't a cheap shot, or he didn't take a hit, but he got kind of tangled up, and he fell wrong, and he kind of fell on his right shoulder, and it kind of, you know, it fell mm-hmm. wrong, and he kind of hurt it a little bit. Or it wasn't his right shoulder, it was his left shoulder. It wasn't his throwing shoulder. He's fine, he's 100%, but I'm like, dude, why do you need to get the extra yard or two? It's in the first quarter. You got the first down.
Right.
Why would you not step out of bounds and prevent anything bad that could happen? And he just kind of looks at me funny, you know. But that's all part of the learning process. Just don't take any unnecessary hits. Don't take any unnecessary, shots. Just get down. You got the first down. Everything's good. Now, there's going to be points in the game, first downs or towards the end of the game where you need a touchdown or something like that, where you're going to have to put your body at risk for the team. We're good with that. But not after you got the first down and a scramble in the first quarter. Let's just go ahead and step out of bounds. I was really happy and proud of Logan. I mean, he loves to play, and he had an opportunity to go in there, and that dude went in there and played pretty daggum good. He played three snaps that one, and then the second time he went in, three snaps while Clayton was getting evaluated and his stuff together, and Clayton came back fine on both those and finished the game and played pretty daggum good. So.
Mm-hmm.
Did okay. I was happy with his progress so far.
That's great. And what if one thing, I love the way he does. He scrambles out when he needs to, and he's able to pick up. And he because he's a good runner. Clayton's a good runner. If you could pick up one thing that you would like to see him improving on?
Man, he's on track. I'm telling you, his accuracy is really good. Getting us into the right checks. Probably. I mean, the one thing is just. Continuing to understand the run game just a little bit more. Not when it comes to what his run game responsibilities are. I mean, he's good with that. You know, he's going to hold the backside edge. He's going to stick it up in there on a cue draw or cue run in specific situations. But understanding fronts and getting us in a better run plays based on fronts when it involves a running back. I've had quarterbacks that never figured that out. You know, and so he's at a point now where he's just a really smart player and a smart kid. He works hard and he understands video and he likes to come in and study that stuff. And we try not to put too much on him when it comes to that, but I think he's got the mental capacity to be able to understand, you know, the difference in a 6 technique and a 9 technique and what run plays that we need to get into. I mean, it's speaking pretty highly of him. I mean, if that's what he's got to work on with 2 years left of eligibility, I think we got a good one here for the future.
Yep. Dana Holgerson, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, HR&P, and Chastang Ford, right here on ESPN 97.5 every Thursday morning, 8 till 8:30. Man, appreciate it. Nice win. That was a really, really good win. This is going to be a shootout. You like these shootouts?
I've been in a few of them. I've been in a few of them. I've got to the point where I like playing defense quite a bit. And our defense is starting to come along, you know, so I'd be okay with, just kind of shutting them down a little bit. And I'm okay with controlling the ball on offense to kind of shorten this thing and not make it a shootout.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Coach, we appreciate it. As always, congratulations on the win, and we'll see you out there on Saturday.
See you Saturday. Go Cougs. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Yeah, 1 o'clock, TDECU. Get on out there. Let's go. I don't know what the capacity is. I don't know what they're going to do, but you can get there if you try. All you got to do is try, Cougs. Let's go. Time to talk about mybookie.ag, promo code radio. You want to bet on them, Cougs? I'll find out what that line is. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. They got every game. And we'll talk about the games. We'll get some picks from Dell. Dell was 2-0 last week, so Dell's going to give us some picks. So if you're looking for a great way to make some money, all you got to do is listen to Dell's picks, and you're going to make some money. I did, and you will too. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. When you deposit, you make your first deposit, they will double that. Double your first deposit. Nobody else is doing that. Nobody else is giving you twice the amount of money to play with. And that's what they do at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. And when you win, they pay. Okay, so if you're looking for a great way to pick up money and you want to, I mean, it's simple. Just bet on the right team. That's all you got to do. Every single day, they will send you the money after you win. If you try to get it, they will send it to you. And that's the most important thing about a bookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. It's easy to navigate. It's a great site. They got all you could possibly bet on. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio.
ESPN.
97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We got to talk some a little bit. Cougs are 2.5-point underdogs. 2.5-point underdogs at home against Central Florida. We'll see how that works out. How about Rice is only a 1.5-point favorite against Southern Miss? Southern Miss has been very good.
And they just lost their interim coach. He dipped out for Austin Peay. So they have lost two head coaches in less than half a season, pretty much.
And they're just not very good either. I could see Rice winning that football game.
Well, they probably should.
Notre Dame is only a 20-point favorite against Georgia Tech, though. Georgia Tech is a bad team. I mean, a bad team.
The issue with them is they have outright awful performances, and then they're okay. They beat Louisville at home. Louisville's not great, but they beat them convincingly, and then we know what they did to Florida State, who's not great.
Clemson?
Well, yeah, but that was the awfulness that kind of showcased their problems. I don't think Notre Dame's as good as what they did as they looked against Pitt, and I don't think Georgia Tech is as bad as they looked against Clemson. What's the number again? 20?
20.
And that's in Atlanta?
Yeah.
I do think Georgia Tech's defensive front is terrible, and Notre Dame plays a style that's going to exploit that. So I think I like that number for Notre Dame.
I like that number for Notre Dame, too. I also like LSU this week playing Auburn. LSU's -3. Auburn could be 1-4 right now.
The problem with Auburn is they have – but this happens to Auburn every year, it feels like. They have Auburn Jesus on their side. Where just things go their way.
Everything goes their way.
And when they shouldn't go their way, they feel like they get the benefit of every call or every break. So people have started calling it Auburn Jesus. The thing with this game is Auburn doesn't have an offense that exploits LSU's biggest weakness. No, their pass defense. I do like LSU -3 in that one.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't even review the muff punt or the punt that the kid touched and Ole Miss recovered. They didn't even review it. Arkansas, you had the backwards clock stopper. And what was there? There's one more call that they got late in the game.
Well, Kentucky at the half, it looked like Kentucky got in for a touchdown. And then they said he didn't. And then, like, two plays later, they threw a pick, which would have been a pick six except for a legal block. So Kentucky went from taking the lead going into the half to still trailing, and it kind of got away from them. So they've had the benefit of three big calls.
Huge calls.
And what are they? Have they played five games now?
Yeah, they're 3-2.
Yeah.
Huge calls.
Yeah, they're not very good.
No, they're not very good at all. So LSU's -3. That's if Finley plays now. We'll see. I haven't heard whether or not Brennan, although he hasn't played badly. Miles Brennan is back, but Finley looked spectacular. He's got a rifle. The kid has a rifle for an arm.
He reminds me, he's probably a little bigger. He reminds me of Ryan Perilou in the pocket. You know, Perilou was a Texas kid who decided to go to, or the Texas commit decided to go to LSU and never worked out for him. Maybe it's just the number that he wears. He gives me that vibe throwing the football. Yeah. Speaking of Texas guys, did you see that a kid did a whole respect my decision on Texas yesterday?
Yeah.
Quinn Ewers, highly touted five-star, supposed to be the savior of Texas football, said, nah, I'm good.
Nah, fam.
Respect my decision. I'm probably going to Ohio State.
What position?
Quarterback.
Quarterback. The kid, the biggest recruit they've had.
Come back to us. What? I mean them.
Us.
Us. Oh, he's trying to make some nachos with his wife.
Oh, okay.
I'm at the house.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Yeah.
We need him back. See that?
No, the kid's like,
is back, folks.
The kid is like, nah. No thanks.
If you're a Texas kid and you look at like you grew up in the state, and you look at what guys have done who've left the state to go play at Ohio State. Jeffrey Okuda worked out pretty well for him.
Garbage.
J.K. Dobbins worked out pretty well for him.
Didn't even go into first.
Okuda was a top five pick, right?
Yeah, but he wasn't a top three pick.
Well, of course. Yeah. Well, because Texas literally
actually,
is the top
Okuda
three.
Okuda was a top three pick.
Yeah. So
didn't he go to Detroit at three?
I know he was drafted by Detroit. I don't remember their draft slot. Maybe they were three. So
yeah, well, he wasn't a top two pick.
Yeah, that sucks.
Right.
Texas has plenty of those. So if you're a top Texas kid and Ohio State comes calling, probably go to Ohio State.
Oh, here comes an anti-Texas guy coming in.
Yeah, no, just hate, Del. Just hate.
I mean, you could be Jeffrey Okuda, or you could be like, I don't know, Caden Stearns or something. Which one do you want to be?
No. Back to Finley, LSU's quarterback. My brother-in-law said Jamarcus, Jamunchies Russell.
He is big.
He's big, and he's got Jamunchies' arm, but hopefully he just doesn't have his eating habits. Holy crap. Who do we got on the line? Jamie. What's going on, Jamie?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Jamie.
It's a long time.
What's going on, Jamie?
Not much. Still up here in Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Man. Who are you going to vote for? Because you're probably the swing vote up there.
Is she the vote?
She's the vote.
I know who I'm not voting for, but I don't know if I'm voting for the other candidate yet.
Gotcha.
Or just writing Mickey Mouse. Or writing Mickey Mouse.
Okay.
All right. Vote for Mickey.
Yeah. How are you, Jamie?
I might write John and Lance in for president or VP.
Let's go. I've already run for president. I've got my posters still, so I'm ready.
All right. Yeah, no, hey, I just wanted to call, and it's like, you know, I saw this, that now Justin Turner tested positive. How can you test positive when you're in a bubble?
Well, that is interesting that he was in a bubble. Are you sure that he followed all the protocols? Did you see when Major League Baseball came out?
I don't know.
When Major League Baseball,
I was like,
yeah. When they came out after the game and they told him to get off the field, he said no.
I know. I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure that Justin Turner followed all the protocols, but that was a question. How the hell did you catch it when you're allegedly in a bubble? I don't know.
How do you catch it in a bubble? How do you play in a game when there are questionable, when it's questionable whether or not you have it? Because that's what
exactly happened
on the first test, and they got the second test expedited. And then how do you let that guy on the field running around with no mask on after the game? Nice job
exactly. All
the way around, Dodgers. This is why you definitely get an asterisk next to your championship. Congratulations.
Yep. Yep. Amen. Asterisk all the way next year.
Yep, you're
asterisk
right, Jamie.
All the way next year.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, hey, it was great talking to y'all. And next time I come to Houston and we're not in COVID, I might come look you guys up.
Come on. Come see us.
Yeah. Hey, I'd love to be on air again like I was in 2000 before I moved up here.
All right, come on. Let's go. There's Jamie. Long time listener. And up in Pennsylvania, she still stays in contact with us. That's awesome. Hmm. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Say hello to Daryl Morey up there for us.
You hear that part about when we don't have COVID?
Yeah.
It's going to be sweet, yeah.
What? When we don't have COVID? There's no more COVID.
Do y'all remember when we were first saying, okay, March, April, so we'd be out of this by May. All right.
Yeah.
At the latest, when it gets hotter in June.
I don't know if you know this, but the numbers have gone down, Lance.
is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
The positive's gone down.
Tell that to Wisconsin.
I'm telling you, our president's got this under control.
I was told that we're right around the corner from killing this thing off. That's what I was told. And then Wisconsin's like, excuse me, I know you're coming here for multiple campaign events. Do you know that we're having issues where all our hospitals are full because of COVID stuff? But please do continue to have your campaign rallies here.
I don't know if you saw this, Dell, but yeah, just 7,285. Thank you.
Where? Here?
7,266. We had a huge drop the other day. 39-35. It's back up a little bit.
A little bit, huh? In the 7,000s again?
Yeah, but that's not – why we always got to look at the negative?
Well, it's not about the negatives. It's about the numbers. We're all numbers guys here, right?
I'm a numbers guy.
I'm a numbers guy. Yeah. Do you guys hear what Trump – do you know what Trump got with his – like the concoction when he got sick, you heard what he had. I mean, you heard what the concoction was, the cocktails he was given.
A nuclear weapon?
No, to get better.
Oh, that's a hurricane. That's right. I'm sorry.
He drops those in hurricanes.
No, the medicine he got.
No, what did he get?
Yeah, we don't
Compound B.
He didn't get it from Voss. He didn't get Compound
yep.
B.
He got Compound B, and I'm telling you right now, try to get him out of the White House now that he's got Compound B in his system.
You think he has powers like Homelander or somebody else? Or is he like,
running? White Noir, maybe more like White Noir.
So I don't know what any of this means. So.
It's from The Boys. He's quoting stuff from The Boys.
Well, nobody watches that land, so let's talk about Homeland.
Okay? No one watches that anymore. Oh, Carrie's crying again? Congratulations.
Yeah, Carrie's crying again. Okay.
What's going to happen, Saul? Shut up. God, stop already.
Was that the best sleeping weather last night?
Yeah, that was great. I took some nighttime medicine, like a nighttime Bicwell cold and flu. Oh, it was the greatest sleep I've ever had.
Really?
I woke up, it's like 68 in my house. Fantastic.
It was perfect. Yeah. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in.
My wife has done too. My wife is now, she brought me a whole box of Cheez-Its, some Gatorade, and a sack. She said, stay in there. Here, just eat this.
Well, stay in there.
Well, can I get out of my room? No. Just drink this Gatorade and eat these Cheez-Its in here. She's just like throwing food. It's like throwing food and drink into a cage for an animal, basically.
Well, okay. If the cage fits, is it like a cage like Melania's?
What?
Is it a cage like Melania's?
I haven't heard that. What's that one?
Well, I was in Borat.
Oh, like Tutar.
Yeah, like Tutar's. Like Tutar's cage? Is that what it's like?
That little actress was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. No, she was good. She was funny. Traditional dance.
I'm going to say something that's not a popular opinion. I get it. I don't think Rudy Giuliani was going after it. I really do think she untucked his shirt because they ran a wire up through his shirt. She had untucked his shirt. I actually do think he was probably tucking in his shirt. I get that that's not the salacious
but
one.
But why did he go in the bedroom with her? It makes no sense. Hey, let's go to the bedroom and have a drink. Okay.
Well,
what?
She said, do you want to go in here and have a...
No, she said, let's go in the bedroom and have a drink.
Whatever it was that she was drinking.
Yeah.
He's like, I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. And wait a minute. What did he think was going to happen? There were cameras all over. There was a camera on him.
Yeah, turn it off. We'll do stuff now.
No. I mean... He did kind of put his hand on her hip, and then he took it off. I was like, ooh, that was a move right there. But it was amazing. I got a text from a guy. Well, my buddy's watching, and he goes, why did Giuliani – how did they get him to do this stuff?
How did he wind up on the bed?
How did he – that's right. All she said was
– what are you talking about? How does Borat do any of that? How does Sasha Baron Cohen do anything?
I have no idea.
For 5 days.
All she said was, let's go in the bedroom and have a drink. And he was like, okay, what? I mean, can't be dumber. Can't be dumber.
Catch John Granato at a different time in his life with no Wendy and watch what happens.
Oh, yeah, I'd have been in there in a minute.
Of course,
if I don't have a what, so what? I don't have a wife. What?
I don't even know.
She looks older than 15 to me. She wasn't 15, by the way.
No, she's a girl. She's an adult.
She was 22 when they filmed.
Yeah, she's 22.
It's just Borat ran in there and says... She's too old for you. She's 15.
She's 15. Time to talk about GimmeTheVin.com. That's my man, John Clay Wolf. He's not too old for you. He's going to be around on Saturday, and he's going to be doing stuff. He's going to be taking your calls. He sells cars. He buys cars on the radio. That's right. You tell him on the radio what your car is, and he'll buy it. Now, if you're looking for the best way to go about this thing to get your car sold, the dude is unbelievable. He's unbelievable. He's guaranteeing that he will give you the best price, because if he can't beat CarMax's offer, he's going to send you $100. So you know you're getting the best deal. At the very least, you're taking your car to get traded in. Well, you see what it's worth at GiveMeTheVIN.com. Then you walk into the dealership armed with this, and if the dealer says, oh, no, we can't give you that for that, well, fine. I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll sell it to GiveMeTheVIN.com, but we'll do it all through the dealership. How's that? And the dealer, it just happens all the time, so that it is seamless tax-wise and everything else, that you have your car sold at the highest price, and yet you're buying, and hopefully you've already worked out the deal with the dealership on how much you're going to pay, because they're looking to just work every dealership. It's what they do. They try to make as much money on the trade-in as they possibly can. That's just the business. John Clay Wolf says, I will give you the most for your trade-in at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Oh, Rudy Giuliani's not married.
No, so? He got divorced last year.
He got divorced last year? John, hey. 22-year-old girl coming? What? Yeah, I'll go in there with you.
I mean,
okay. We'll go have a drink in the bedroom.
Maybe don't do it when cameras are present.
And? Well, maybe Rudy's proud of his stuff. He's going to go, okay.
He didn't react like he was proud of it when the story came out.
Can we get some more cameras in here? That'd be great.
Do you want to see Rudy in that type of situation?
No, but maybe Rudy does.
Well, sometimes you got to be self-aware.
I don't know what Rudy's bringing to the table. I have no idea.
Well, maybe the wife left him because he wasn't bringing much.
He's Italian.
What does that mean?
I don't know what Rudy's bringing to the table.
But you said he's Italian, so what does that mean?
I don't know. That's all I'm saying.
So are you bringing half of that because you're half Italian?
No, I'm bringing... I'm Italian. That's all you need to be.
Okay.
That's all you need to
all
be.
All right.
Let's get Lawrence in here. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, guys. Hey, greetings from Orlando, Florida. We still can't put our windows on at night until, like, February. And even then, it's for, like, a week.
Yeah, this ain't last in here either.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to talk about Justin Turner real quick. First of all, how do they get a test to come back positive in the seventh inning of a World Series game? Shouldn't that crap have been done, you know, pre-game time?
They did.
Doesn't that deserve an asterisk? That's cheating. The Dodgers cheated by letting him play.
Yeah.
So that's an asterisk. And it's also an asterisk for a 60-game season.
Yeah. No, we're with you. It's an asterisk. They get an asterisk. There's no question.
That's all I got.
Yeah. No. They get an asterisk. Yeah. That their title is tainted using an ineligible player. What happens in high school? You forfeit your games. What happens in college? You forfeit your games. Dodgers have to forfeit their title. That's all.
On a serious note, can you imagine if Justin Turner had hit a 3-run home run?
Oh, my gosh.
That was the difference in the game?
Yeah. And he was crap in that game. So, you know what? It was better for... Well, there was nothing better for Kevin Cash. Kevin Cash is numbnuts. What an idiot. What an idiot. Destroyed all my hopes and dreams for the Rays. I was rooting for the Rays like they were the Astros. I mean, I was too,
like, take some pitches. What are you doing?
Yeah.
That's right. They really don't hit that great.
Yeah, no, they don't. As soon as Betts hit that three-run home, that solo shot, I was done. I'm out. I'm disgusted. I don't want. You think I want to watch those guys celebrating? No. Michael's next. What's going on, Michael?
To come up every, like, I was hoping a Rosarina.
So, yeah, a couple things. Rudy Giuliani definitely looks like he takes too much money from loan sharks now. The -3.5 on Oklahoma, you played that, correct?
Oklahoma's -3.5?
I didn't see it. Against Longhorn.
Oklahoma State.
It's Oklahoma State. They already played Oklahoma and lost.
Yeah. In Stillwater, -3.5. Is that the number?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you like there, Del?
I like Oklahoma State's defense. I'm still not sure about Spencer Franks or Felipe Sanders. I do like Oak State's defense in that situation.
If you want to know the truth, I really think that Oklahoma State would be better off playing Illingworth. I mean, he actually looked pretty damn good.
And my second thing is I did notice Logan Holgorsen getting a few snaps the other day playing against Navy. So my question to John is, was that a joint parenting decision between you and Dana, or did he make that decision to go to UVA on his own?
Well, John?
No, I had nothing to do with Logan's decision to go to U of H. Zero. Nothing.
That wasn't a joint parenting decision?
No, it wasn't a joint parenting decision.
Do you get Logan on during bye weeks?
No, I don't. I don't have any custody of Logan whatsoever.
Are you David or are you Patrick?
I'm not. I'm neither nor. I'm not a parent of Logan.
Oh, my God.
Does he call you Godfather?
Nope. Not his godfather.
Uncle John, does he call you?
I like the kid. The kid's a great kid, by the way. He's a great kid. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't do anything like that.
Well, is he old enough? How old is Logan Holgorsen?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, what do you mean?
Is he like 20? I don't know how old he is. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, he's probably 20.
Well, then he doesn't break the law. Congratulations to him.
I know. Listen, I raised Frankie. Okay.
Well, you indoctrinated her. That's different.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this. There's a lot of kids. I don't know if you heard, Del. There are a lot of kids that drink before they're 21.
Yeah.
I know you didn't.
Nope.
Because you're.
I'm a upstanding individual.
No, that's not it. You didn't drink after you were 21. So
because it's the devil's
because
juice.
Because you're boring.
No.
And you live in the most
I'm not
mundane
drinking
life
the
I've
devil's,
ever heard of.
Oh, because drinking's not mundane. Not enough.
No.
That's a unique thing that people do.
Right. That's right. No, it's actually someone that we have fun as opposed to you in your life.
When I look at the you people, I'm using the term you people because it fits. When I look at you people and I'm like, that's not fun.
Yeah, no, it's a great time.
Yeah.
It's a great time had by all.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. So Logan is a great kid. I had nothing to do with it, did not raise him, I'm not a parent. None of those things.
That needs to be investigated further, I think.
Yeah. All right. Danny's just a friend of mine.
Okay.
Have a good time. That's all.
So you guys didn't decide to take up the raising of Logan at all, huh?
No. I had nothing to do with Logan being raised. No.
He doesn't call you Uncle John?
Nope. Doesn't. I think he calls me Mr. G, if you want to know the truth.
Mr. G?
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's respectful.
What do the Zerline kids call you?
Mr. Granado.
That drunk over there?
No.
He.
Mr. Inappropriate.
They call you T-Dot, that drunk over there?
No, they call me Mr. Inappropriate.
Mr. Snacks has an ugly name for him. Stupid Mr. Granado.
Well, they call me Mr. Granado.
Yeah, I told Snacks.
They're respectful. That. Yeah. Unlike you, Del.
I'm not a child.
Yeah.
Why do I have to call you Mr.
You kind of
Granado?
You've never had a beer in your life. You're kind of a child to me.
That's fine. But you're giving drinks to your children at 5, so I'm not going to take your credit. I'm not going to take your word for it on anything.
Or younger.
Yeah, I was trying to give you some credit there. I know the actual age.
It's how you build up an immunity to it, a tolerance to it.
Who's a better kid that you really don't know all that well? Logan Holgorsen? I know Logan Holgorsen really well, actually. I know Logan really, really well, Art, so that question's dumb. I want to talk right now about ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is fantastic, people. Look, if you're somebody that hires, you got to wade through, and there are tons of people out there right now, right? Tons of people out there that need a job. So every time something posts, you might get, I don't know, how many candidates, or you don't know where to post and you're not getting any candidates. Well, ZipRecruiter is a place that scans thousands of resumes to find the right people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. That's what ZipRecruiter, that's what they do, okay? You can add screening questions to your job listing too, so you can filter candidates and focus on just the right ones that you want for your employment. ZipRecruiter is so effective. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. That's their tagline, because it is the smartest way to hire. And this is so hard to hire in this workplace, in this environment, with all of the candidates. And whether you get no candidates or you get thousands, that's the same thing, because you can't sift through all of them. So here's the deal. Find the smartest way to hire, ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter.com/John. ZipRecruiter.com/John.
ESPN 97.5.